The following is from Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network.
Now, wait a minute.
Today, we're taking a chainsaw to a big piece of American culture. First of all, King of the Hill is back, and we're asking, can a reboot really capture the soul of American politics, or is it going to fizzle like that potato salad they keep bringing to the barbecue? Then we dive into America's own favorite political reboot, Dynasties. The Kennedys, the Bushes, the Clintons, who's running for a second shot at relevance, and why does it always feel like we're stuck in syndication? Get ready for hot takes, deep dives into nostalgia, and a whole lot of good old-fashioned grilling. This is the most important election of our lifetime.
This election, which will be, I do truly believe, the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election, don't you? You hear that?
This is the most important election in our lifetime.
I certainly think it's the most important election of my lifetime.
This is the most important election of our times.
Politicians say every time, oh, this is the most important election. This one's really that important.
This thing is a great service, but the one thing that's weird about it is just when you hit that start recording button, it might take 1 second. It might take 30 seconds. You just have no idea. You just have to kind of sit there like,
welcome back to the show.
And here we go.
Where everything is going right.
Yeah. It's also just, it's a mysterious, you know, all these, you know, software as a service websites, they're mysterious. They're all black boxes.
They call themselves SaaS, but I prefer to call them ass. Welcome back to the show.
You know, it's going to be an important show today. As you know, like every day, it is a time when you can take charge, step forward, become a part of something. I am, of course, referring to voting. You need to vote today. Vote right now. It is the most important election of our lifetime.
Oh, God, I'm voting for Nader. Oh, God. I got my ballot.
We are back again with yet another most important election of our lifetimes. I'm Kennedy Cooper. As always on the panel, we've got my good friend, Brandon Buchanan. And say something, Brandon. I saw you lean in.
Hi, I'm just really just here to exercise my civic duty. I don't want to be shamed in the future. I don't want, you know, the government to look it up and see that I wasn't hosting this episode. And then I don't know what happens after that, but it just seems bad.
Yeah, someone could check your voting record and say, you didn't record a podcast on December 27th, 2024. It's real. And of course, we have our in-house statistician, Andrew Fields. Say something. Or just blow a streamer at the stream. That works too. And we've got a wonderful guest today. We've got Dono from Radio Free Tote Bag. Somebody whose show I enjoy, who's banter and general stuff I enjoy, whose clips of music and things like that you drop on Instagram I enjoy. Just a great fellow all the way around. Welcome, Dono, to the show.
Don't blame me. I voted for George Triple U Bush.
Oh, my God. You unlocked the secret ballots. You got all the ballots and voted properly. Whoa, I'm impressed. This is a super voter.
The sequel to W, and he's basically like the complete opposite. But he's still really good at golf.
That makes
sense.
That's
the one commonality.
I can't vote for anybody good at golf. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I take a hard ethical stance against golf. So I know he was going to get me health care, but I had to vote for Barron Trump against him.
Come on. Less. Should have voted Jill Stein.
Let's talk about this King of the Hill reboot. This thing is happening. I didn't even know it was going on.
I didn't even know that they
were rebooting this show until we started talking about episode content, concepts. And they were like, did you know that King of the Hill is coming back again? Honestly, most of my viewing of King of the Hill, most of my memories of King of the Hill were of it being preempted by football. This thing came on like right after The Simpsons, or sometimes it came on right before Futurama. But if the football game was really good, King of the Hill, you wouldn't get to see it. That's my number one memory of the show. And of course, you know, I watched tons of episodes of it, but yeah.
Donna, what's your relationship to King of the Hill? What you suggested this as a topic for the show? Tell us about.
Yeah. So what is King of the Hill? This is the first time I'm hearing about this. What is this thing?
Okay, so it's this mode in Team Fortress 2.
Have you ever heard of a slice of life anime? King of the Hill is an American adaptation of a slice of life anime.
I think this is coming back to me now. I didn't know. So I've seen. I'm throwing my bid in the trash immediately because I am actually a big fan. I watched all of it, but as an adult, I saw it would come on when I was a kid. Started watching The Simpsons because I was kind of like an edgy 10-year-old. You know, I was like a little too mature. For Ed and Eddie and for Sponge, the Sponge, and all those types of things. And I remember being like, okay, Simpsons, this is cool. I don't understand half of the jokes, but like, I feel like I'm a real ass fucking man watching this show. And then I saw Family Guy, and who could forget Peter and Lois and the dog and all the rest of the gang. Loved that shit. Hilarious flashback cut to gags. And then King of the Hill would come on, and I was like, this clearly is in the same like genre, but nothing fucking. I was living in like Arkansas as a kid, and it was like, this is just like the people in my fucking neighborhood walking around talking to each other. I felt like there were no jokes. Like, have you ever read fucking comics in the newspaper when you were a kid? And there was a couple of them that were like running storylines since the 60s. And you would read it and it was like, I haven't seen you in years. And she's like, I can't believe we've seen each other. And I'm a kid trying to read Garfield and also fucking Dilbert for some reason. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is nothing. I have no context for any of this. This seems like just.
Yeah. There was like that night that like, Wandering Knight or whatever, with that very complex storyline that was always in the Sunday comics when I was a kid, and like I was always trying to figure out what was going on with that guy. I could
like
not
this is a cartoon. I see
figure out what was going on with that guy at
me,
all.
And yet it is nothing. This is an old detective guy talking to somebody. So that was my read on King of the Hill.
I never thought that I would see anyone compare King of the Hill to Brenda Starr. But now that I think about it, it basically is the animated version of Brenda Starr in so many ways.
I mean, I get what you're saying. I grew up in Las Vegas, so every time a show would go to Las Vegas, the characters would go there. It's like, what is this? This is actually, they usually get it more boring than Las Vegas does. It's like,
they
what
made a
is
cartoon
this?
About me. What is happening?
Let's go on.
So it would come on, and I was like, okay, well, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
And then in high school, a friend of mine made like YouTube poops back in like the time when that was a big thing. And he had on Newgrounds like a couple Hank Hill ones that were huge. Like, I think one of them got a million views. Like, they were very, very big ones. I had no context for any of that shit, but it was like, I was Hank Hill saying, dang it, Bobby, this is my truck. And then Bobby's head is on Lady Bird's body. And I was like, that's crazy. I got to see the show behind this because maybe it'll make me understand the joke here because I don't really understand YouTube. Oops. And I watched the show. It didn't explain any of that, but I was like, wait, this is actually pretty good. And then over the past couple years, I got into Daria, which is probably my favorite animated series. That's a Jace. It's not Mike Judge, but Daria came out of Beavis and Butthead. So did Hank Hill. So started watching this too and was like, wait a second. Like, I get this now. I grew up off and on in the South and just like suburban and kind of rural America generally. And I was like, no, this whips. I love this series. So I think I've seen all of it twice at this point.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've watched quite a few of the episodes many times at this point in my life. It's definitely a bit of a comfort show for me. Also, Mike Judge is kind of grew up in Albuquerque, which I think explains some things about the show, actually, because all his shows are set, all his cartoons are set in Texas. He's never lived in Texas, but if you're from New Mexico, it makes sense to just look at Texas and think that's the place where the butt of all jokes will occur, you know, because we hate Texas here in New Mexico. And it's like, if you make jokes about other places, like, Colorado or Arizona, it's important to remember that we don't have a football team. And so people are loyal to states outside of New Mexico, you know, and things. But Texas is always fair game. And so just the knowing that he's from here makes so much sense of like why Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill, and so many of his other properties have been set in Texas is because, yeah, if you live in New Mexico, that's the place you make fun of, period. And you have to, because New Mexico's doesn't rank high on a lot of lists, especially back in the day. And so, you know, where are you going to turn to make fun? Texas.
Is there a cinematic universe between Beavis and Butthead, Daria, and King of the Hill? I feel like there's been at least one Beavis and Butthead.
There
and
is. Daria crossover. Daria was like a recurring character on Beavis and Butthead as like a student at the school. She got spun off with different writers. I don't think Mike Judge was involved with it besides the creation of the character. There is one reference to the hometown of like, I moved to, I think Lawndale is where Daria's set. I moved from wherever the fuck Beavis and Butthead were. And then it is never mentioned again for the entire, it's the first episode and never again for the rest of the series. It's very weird. I didn't find that out until like later. Cause I don't know. I guess I still have it. I've never really watched Beavis and Butthead. All the King of the Hill, all of Daria multiple times. I've only seen like a couple of those two whippersnappers, those crazy boys.
My stepdad absolutely loved Beavis and Butthead.
Hell
took
yeah.
me to Beavis and Butthead Do America the day it came out. Watched the trailers, was super hyped for it. And this my stepdad was like a conservative guy. And but boy, when the time came, he had a great impression and shit the whole time there. It was one of the happiest he ever was. Typically kind of a serious, stern guy, but boy, as soon as you saw those music videos and Beavis and Butthead just being two idiots, something about that reverted him to a 14-year-old. He'd lost 20 years of his lifespan.
Gone to the cornholio mind virus.
In his age just from watching that show.
Did you do the shirt?
Oh, God. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Yeah. I'm cornholio. I need TP for my bunghole. He did all the bits.
Wait, then
yeah,
I think the other character, because I've since seen some Beavis and Butthead, which I watched not knowing about the music video thing, and I watched an episode expecting it to be like an animated series, and it's like 75% music videos, and I thought I was like watching a special or something before I put together that that's what that series is. I think it's their neighbor or something. There's a Hank Hill-esque character who isn't explicitly Hank, but that's like what Hank was based off of. Do you know what I'm talking about? I can't remember what his name is. He's like the uptight, stay off my lawn neighbor kind of talks.
I know what you're talking about, but I'm not
like a picture. Like, I think my friend also did a YouTube poop involving him, but that's all, kind of all I know. Yeah. That's what it is.
Tom Anderson.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think my stepdad got into it because of the videos. You know, those music videos were from that era. So you start playing some metal, he'd watch it on MTV. And these cartoon characters would just start riffing. And I think that was the gateway there.
Mike Judge is a man of complex politics. He also made a show skewering liberals. Donna, are you familiar with
The Good
with
Family?
This show?
I remember The Good Family. It was on for like 9 episodes. And it was kind of like a Portlandia kind of thing. They were all like cartoonishly annoying libs. I remember the commercials for The Good Family. I didn't watch it. No one watched it. It was canceled right away because it just didn't seem any good. I don't know that much about it because the commercials weren't funny.
Shit. What is the one? There's an animated series based on some stand-up whose name I'm blanking on that was set in the 70s. Maybe it's Bill Burr. I can't remember. I was picturing that. Different. F is for Family is what I was thinking of. I just looked at a picture of this, and I have never seen or heard of this in my entire life. I did not know this existed.
Here's the thing: is like I don't even think the idea of like King of the Hill, but in reverse, it's about liberals this time, necessarily doesn't work as a concept. But I think as
you're describing, You're describing the show. Yeah, you're describing the show Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, Parks and Rec. If the Good Family had been more like Parks and Rec or more like Portlandia, I think it could have worked. But it just actually was not funny. I've seen a little of it, and it's just really bad.
Those liberals are ruining everything.
It seems to me, I'd like to hear if anybody else has opinions on this. Based on like reading some interviews with him and watching a lot of his stuff, I feel like Mike Judge's politics are just to the left of the South Park guys.
That scans. I haven't seen any interviews with him, and I honestly don't have a great sense of the guy. Beyond the documentary he made, Idiocracy, which says much about society, the impression I got was like, yeah, kind of left centrist. Like, not
like he hates Trump.
Okay, that stands. Like, never,
but he's
never
also
Trump Republican.
He's basically a libertarian. Yeah. He's like a never Trump libertarian. Stands,
which is an ideology that doesn't make any sense whatsoever if you consider it just for 5 minutes. But some guys are like that. And you know what? I would probably like him to meet him. Just one of those white dudes who are like, your heart is in the right place, but some things are just never going to fucking click for you. And hopefully where you can
just like Hank Hill
fucking precise
Idiocracy, that utopian fairy tale of triumph and humanity. Idiocracy is like Star Trek The Next Generation compared to what we ended up with.
God damn. Now I will say though, before we move on to our next topic beyond King of the Hill, I will point out, although Mike Judge is kind of a centrist, you know, the King of the Hill reboot did bow to the woke mob. Do you all know this? You know what I'm talking about?
It's no longer Lady Bird. They Bird.
Greg Daniels, one of the producers, I believe, or writers, was quoted as saying, "Not sure whether Khan's coming back, but I think we'll most likely replace Toby's voice for Khan. Like, if we were casting today, we wouldn't have cast him. But we cast in 1997. Most animation casts play multiple roles. And Toby Huss initially played Hank's father, Cotton Hill, and was cast for that. And then Khan came up later. And most productions, especially back then, didn't have the budget to hire a special performer for each voice. But it's different now.
We have to find an Asian voice actor. We've scoured every city across the country. We're just finding nothing. Impossible feat. Yeah, they're actually recasting Khan with Mickey Rooney, which I think is very thoughtful. Going to take him in an interesting direction. Khan is.
I heard that Timothy Chalamet was actually up for that role.
Khan is an interesting character because I think as a character is strong to have like an immigrant in this extremely idealized in ways, also like pretty realistic in ways, like suburban environment. Because I think his first introduction, he like introduces himself as from Laos and they're all asking him if he's Chinese or Japanese and just keep going back to that. And there's like funny shit there of like, we're playing to the ignorance of people, the fucking stereotypes and like lack of awareness of other cultures in like middle America. And he's like smarter and successful than them generally. And then the whole thing is hamstrung by him kind of being a villain in some of the story arcs. And yeah, having like the fucking Mickey Rooney voice as the voice actor.
Yeah. It's,
it sucks to show people because like I've showed partners over the years that show because I love it. And he comes up and you're like, so you kind of it was a different because it's so fucking aggressively. That's not happening. We're just going to try to avoid the Khan episodes, basically. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, and it is unfortunate because, like you say, he's kind of a good character in a lot of ways. So we're also today we're talking about another kind of reboot today. We're talking about political reboots. Ever heard of them? We've got quite a few interesting political dynasties in this country. And, you know, it's every time you think you've stopped hearing from some political family, they come back and you go, oh, no, fuck. No.
Well, I can't wait till Barron Trump gets into politics.
Are we, what's our, Dono, what's your level of confidence in a reboot of King of the Hill? This thing is, I don't know if it's technically, it's a 7-year time jump.
Oh, no.
Bobby will be an adult.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Bobby will be 21. He'll have a job. He's going to be a chef. And
he's a chef?
The other character. Yeah, he's a chef. He's a fusion chef. He's going to be, he's just doing stuff his mom and dad made him. He was a contestant on a reality show called King of the Grill.
God damn it.
And now he has a restaurant. So, yeah. Do you think that this will be better or worse than the George
I'm
W.
going,
Bush
I'm
presidency?
Going worse, unfortunately. I think this is the case with like any reboot to do it that long after, especially even if your intention is the right place to be like, we're gonna adapt, we're gonna fix some of the things. Like, it just ends up fucking up the tone.
I don't know. George W. Bush, I mean, he came a pretty good ways after Pappy. A lot of people had kind of forgotten exactly what happened back then. He kind of came in with the message of, I'm gonna fix the tone of, you know, my dad kind of fucked up Iraq. I'm gonna do it better.
No, I have
that really boy ain't right.
Unfortunately. Also, not to fixate on this part, but like Bobby's whole thing was like, he's a fucking performer. Like, he had the performing genes. And I get, you know, there's an art to cooking and running a restaurant and all of this, but like, make him at least have him doing open mics or something. Like, what the fuck are we doing? And then there's the conflict between his dad wanting to take a more traditional job path and he wants to be it writes itself. What are we doing?
Yeah, I do think Bobby should be a struggling stand-up comedian.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
And a part-time chef.
Absolutely.
Rather than a restaurant owner, that would be stronger in my mind.
Absolutely. They did it all for the King of the Grill joke, and that's nothing, man. Come on, that's the kind of jokes I'm making on my show. Don't do that.
Those are the kind of jokes you're making on your Blue Sky account. Those are. I gotta fire off 20 of these things a day. And I got to go with whatever comes to my mind.
I did. I saw a picture of Mario character Chain Chomp yesterday, and I fired off 20 posts. Like, this really chains my chomp. Let me pull some of these up.
My wife, am I
That's
right?
A strong one. Those who ignore Chain are doomed to chomp it. The ignore history one. I got some people chiming in, and there were some strong ones.
Never chomp a gift chain in the mouth, maybe.
Oh, fuck. Put that out there, Kennedy. That's the kind of thing I was looking for. We had David Twitty saying, Wayne, that's good shit. I take it back. That wasn't even lowbrow.
I'm actually going to say, yeah, this is better than King of the Grill.
That excellence came out. I should be writing for King of the Hill. It's nothing. That is nothing.
Do you think the King of the Hill reboot will be better or worse than Joe Kennedy trying to primary Ed Markey for his Senate seat?
Now, I'm going to pretend for just a second, and you can cut this part I'm about to say out, but I'm actually in many ways a dumb guy, and I don't know what's the deal with Joe Kennedy is. Who is
so that? Joe Kennedy is he was just, this is good. We can educate the audience too. It's totally fine. he's a Kennedy, like, you know, the political Kennedys.
Okay, I do know that.
And
like you.
Like me.
Oh my God.
Oh God. Speaking of political reboot.
But unlike RFK, Joe Kennedy is still relatively young, good looking, and doesn't seem ravaged by hard drugs or anything like that.
Hell yeah. Does he collect like whale heads? Or like bear carcasses or anything?
Yes.
Okay, so he's got that going.
You're
sure.
Describing him.
Yes.
You're describing him.
He's
a calipers guy for sure.
Yeah, Joe Kennedy does give off a weird vibe. You know, he just decided at some point that he was the special boy. He's been a sitting congressperson or something like that for a while. And he was like, that's not good enough for me. I gotta be the senator. And he primaried Ed Markey, who is like a relatively beloved senator, even like fairly liked by leftists, like one of the guys that votes the right way the most, you know, kind of.
I don't think that Ed Markey was beloved. I think that being primaried made him beloved.
I think people just saw this. He was somewhat beloved locally before that, and so, at least to some extent.
Yeah, I mean a little, maybe. But I think
it's a low bar for a politician to be beloved. Yeah, let's be honest.
I think that people were just shocked by the gall of just a guy going, "It's time for my promotion." It was like, you know what? I'm going to decide to love the other guy.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at a picture of Joe Kennedy the third.
That's him. And,
that's the guy.
That is a pasty young man. He's 44. Okay. Shouts out to him. Are the Kennedys fucking wasps? Or are they like Catholics or something? He looks.
They're quite.
This scans to me as like. Wait, no. Generic Ivy school guy.
Yeah, they're quite Catholic. Duh.
A bunch of Irish people.
Ah, shit. I was thinking about the Catholic. Unfortunately, that's
half. JFK got elected right after I said that. I was like, duh.
And once again, I'm kind of a dumb guy. I don't remember these things, despite being raised Catholic and half of my genetic stock. Coming from the Emerald Isles. So this is unfortunate. Sure. We got to take this guy out and put me in instead, a better representation of Catholicism. I have a cool mustache, and I look like I would shove you into a locker, and not that you would shove me into a locker.
You know
and
what?
That's what we need.
Time to vote right now. I'm going to vote for you, Dono, right now.
I've got to know how finely developed your sense of self-loathing is before I can accept you.
Well, unfortunately, we've done a lot of work on that. self-love these days, which is
kind of
a
trail of the faith.
a journey of healing and self-love. America just can't go there with you.
Catholicism definitely can't go there with you. Do you think
we're talking about?
Hang on. Last one. Do you think that the King of the Hill reboot will be more or less successful than Hillary Clinton's attempt to run for president?
If you think the King of the Hill reboot will be less successful than Hillary Clinton's attempt to rerun for president, you might be right now. I do think it'll be more successful than that, because that is one of the most across-the-board dog shit campaigns of all time.
I don't think it would be possible for a cartoon to lose as much money as Hillary Clinton, no matter how bad it is.
You need a Pokemon Go watch the
Absolutely
King of the Hill
not.
Reboot.
Bobby is he's a fusion chef, and he always keeps a bottle of hot sauce in his
I'm just
in
chilling
his pocket.
In Arlen, Texas.
Hillary. Oh, I forgot about that one. God damn. Oh, what a just off-putting in all respects human being. Both the Clintons.
Very
I mean, all of fucking the kids, too. They're all
people. And they're from Arkansas. Yeah, that's basically Texas.
I think
so,
they
you
may
know.
Be from where I grew up or close to it. Unfortunately,
he was from a town called Hope.
Hope and Change, Obama, Clinton, Democratic Party. That's nothing though. We can skip that one. There is nothing there.
Who's the most right wing person that Hank Hill would vote for?
Only way too decorum breaking for Hank. Hank is definitely Republican. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, King of the Hill is interesting because, you know, people say that it's not political. King of the Hill, I mean, talks about politics a lot, but I think it looks at politics through an interpersonal lens. It's more about individuals. So it's really who's the most right wing individual that Hank can stomach? Is it Ted Cruz? Maybe.
Maybe. So, yeah, I feel like he would vote, but kind of be complaining about Ted Cruz in some ways. Also, I feel like Ted Cruz is just like not man enough for it. Like you look at Ted Cruz, that motherfucker has never mowed a lawn in his fucking life.
Not one time.
Never mowed a lawn. Can't shake your hand. And limp handshake.
No limp.
Yeah,
limp
that's a hard
handshake.
Thing for Hank
Absolutely.
To overcome. There's a whole episode about that. So
it'll be in the reboot.
No, in the original, there's a whole episode where he shakes. I think George Bush's hand.
W's handshake. What happened?
And he's like, oh no, I don't know if I can vote for W. The handshake was bad. But then he's like, I just have to vote for my country and my
right. It seems like
he
would put it aside. Speaking of asides. I remember like people telling me that growing up, ostensibly male, you must grow into traditional man type. And I remember being like, that fucking handshake thing is stupid, but it stuck with me. And I think I got a good firm, but not the like aggressive dickhead kind of handshake. I encountered the floppy handshake recently.
It feels weird. It feels like somebody's handing you a dead body.
Recognizing all of these norms is like stupid and regressive in many ways. It's unpleasant to get the like the limp fish handshake.
Or like, you know, like at Halloween when somebody's like, here, shake my hand. They've got like a prop.
Right. Like, don't do that to me. This is physically unpleasant.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, shaking a limp. Ah, I totally agree.
This isn't a hand. You know, this is a bowl of peeled grapes.
Toxic masculinity sucks and whatever. But everyone, I think, regardless of gender, should be able to give a reasonable handshake. It doesn't have to be great. Just don't put your hand into mine and then it's just like flopping there loosely. That's
no one wants that. Look alive. Come on.
Absolutely.
But again, don't do the fucking over grip.
You're like over the age of 75, and then you're allowed to give a shitty that you know you,
yeah, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, you can. You can. Yeah, once you get over the age of 7, no social rules really apply. You can almost do anything as long as you keep your bodily fluids inside of you, and you can get away with almost anything.
I feel like Hank Hill would be like a votes against Ted Cruz in the primary, but votes for him in the general every time kind of guy.
Yeah. I do think
he's like, well, that Bill Stamther or whatever, you know, that guy's got some real ideas, unlike that Ted Cruz. And he was in the military.
It does in a lot of ways feel like that guy is largely gone. And I mean, it might be just because mainstream conservative politics now is just out and out fascism and conspiracy theories. Like, it's aggressive and over the top. It's just trying to grab you with whatever insane stuff because that's like exciting and it feels like you're doing something. It feels like that guy's kind of like, I don't know, I'm thinking just to like the Bush era, and granted, like, I was a child or a teenager for most of that, but like the Hank Hill type of guy seems largely gone. That seems like somebody who the 2016, 2020 election, like, I feel like he would have gone, he's never Trump Republican is what I'm feeling like. But even there, that type of guy, the never Trump Republican doesn't seem like the type who's got the kind of moral backbone. No, I don't know, because that is largely like dumb guys who are mostly like, he's a man's man. He looks like you could have a beer with him,
yeah,
as opposed to like engaging with policy. Or it is all decorum, well, and kind of, he seems like a good guy. Hell, I trust my kids. I'm going to vote for him. Hank's a dying breed is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, he's a dying breed.
I don't know how many of those people are still around.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are Trump supporting in a silent and ashamed manner.
You think so? He seems like a weak handshake. He seems like a weird handshake.
In the case of Hank,
he like tickles your palm a little.
That's not how you get to become the main character of a sitcom. You've got to have a little backbone just to be on a TV show.
I think Hank's furthest right vote would be Ron DeSantis.
Oh boy, who do we think is the most left wing person that Hank Hill would vote for?
Again, I feel like it's mostly optics. Ron Paul Revolution, baby. Let's
Ron
go.
Paul?
I think it's mostly optics. Like, if you had, like, I want to say Bernie, because he does have at least, like, kind of crotchety old man energy. I feel like he probably has a good handshake.
You could see Bernie Sanders in a King of the Hill episode.
I could see this. I feel like Hank, like, trying to reason with him or something, and maybe coming around on some of the things.
Bobby's a fan,
but only slightly.
And Hank Hill's got to figure out why.
Yeah.
It would definitely take the personal connection. You know, Bernie Sanders would have to meet Hank Hill.
But there is an energy there of just like an old guy who speaks his mind. There is like some traditional masculine old dude stuff. Like, I don't know. I think lots of down the middle, like middle America, little bit dumb white guys, I think are just going to have respect for a crotchety old white guy. That goes a long way. He's a little Cotton-esque, like a little less racist Cotton. He still has his shins and he's not like dating a 18-year-old or however old his wife is in the damn show. There's a little bit of Venn diagram overlap.
You're tuned in to Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network, built for creators, activists, and entrepreneurs with something to say. Gripping audio documentaries, conversations that spark change. We're here to bring your ideas to life. Ready for more? Head to ghostcoast.video for shows that matter, tools to help you create, and a community that's totally redefining what a podcast network can be. Ghost Coast Studios, meet your dreams.
How do you think Dale Gribble would do in a political election against Ron Paul? Speaking of Ron Paul.
I mean, Dale Gribble is like, would be the main character now. That is the guy. That is the guy. And it sucks because, like, yeah, like, even a lot of conspiracy theory stuff back then was like racist and hateful and xenophobic, but at least it was a little more whimsical, a little less aggressive than now. Like, I don't know. I appreciate the Dale character because there is something funny about somebody who's just confidently insane in that way.
So you think he could just take over the Republican Party in the modern era? Like, if Dale Gribble's in the 2016 primary, maybe he becomes president.
100%.
I think. Oh, I thought you were saying a main kid. Oh well, shit. You're probably right.
Yeah, probably he would be right. Trump's successor.
I was really thinking about him as main character. Like, this guy represents the average person in the way Hank did 10 years ago. Like, the spectrum has moved. Of what maybe this guy isn't 100% crazy. Dale represents that.
Well, I don't know if they can make Dale the main character in the reboot because the voice actor died.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I know. Totally.
RIP to a real one, unless he sucked.
I think Luann's voice actor died as well.
That happened when the show was still going.
Yeah.
That was more.
Here's what we need. I think this gives us a framework in which to address the problems and the horrible fucking political trends in this country. We've gone from Hank to Dale. I think we need to move from Hank to Boonhauer. I think Boonhauer America is the place that I want to live in. You need a chill, kind of weird guy who's got hoes, who's got a cool car. You can't entirely understand him, but, like, you know, his heart is in the right place. Let's go fucking Boonhauer 2020, whenever the fuck the next election is.
That's, you know, we were actually wondering about this in the process of coming up with the notes for this show. What, you know, given Boomhauer's incredible accent, what do you think the highest office Boomhauer could reasonably hold in the United States is? Right? Because, like, obviously, if it's a small town in Texas, that accent is fine. You could be like a mayor or a city council member in a small town in Texas, no problem. But as you start to climb the ranks, I mean, like, is America ready for a president that is, like, basically a mumble rapper? Like, are we ready for a president we can't understand?
I mean, Kennedy, we just had Joe Biden for 4 years, okay?
Yeah, people didn't like about it. A president people we can't complained understand. About the mumbling.
Yeah, but yeah, it's just...
That was, like, his number one critique. He'd be, like, bombing Syria, and people be like, God damn, he's such a mumbler. Fucking mumbles over here. Like, you know, just...
Boomhauer mumbles.
Like, he's like in prison 2,000 peaceful protesters, and people be like, fucking mumbles.
We stopped Medicare.
I think you get it. I mean, it's all fucking vibes based these days. And I think Boomhauer just has better vibes than Joe Biden, despite the mumbling.
Because he was elected.
He was actively sundowning for the entire fucking presidency. And so is Trump, for that matter, at this point. Like, he's also absolutely losing his fucking mind.
He started to the ravages of age so much in the last couple of months of the campaign, and it was insane.
So
screwed out. He is from senile guy to senile guy. God damn it!
It's the same deal.
All the fucking voters are senile.
he's a fucking puppet. I just think Boomhauer has great vibes. And I think if your campaign ad was you and two honeys, like, on the hood of your cool fucking 70s Camaro, you're getting my vote even. I will fucking vote for that guy. That's so much better than what we have up there. We haven't had a fucking cool guy since I've been alive, I think. I guess so Clinton fair. Kind of had a cool thing, but
Obama
like,
wasn't a cool creep. Guy.
You know, that is an oversight. I do think Obama,
yeah, Obama
was cool
energy, had
that, but he also he had fucking that lanyard energy.
First term Obama was a cool guy.
There we go.
Second term Obama felt like your fucking boss coming over to your cubicle like,
guys,
hey, what's up? Have you been listening to the new
to my Spotify? Have you been listening to my Spotify playlist?
have you listened to the new Pusha T? And I'm like, yeah, I did, but I don't really want to discuss it with you, man.
How do you like my chance?
So yeah, I think that's the issue with Obama. Is it's like it's hard to remember him as a cool guy because at the end of his term, he was like a lame. Fucking boomer nerd. He aged so fast. He was like a millennial when he started running and a boomer when he left office. And I don't know how that works. Some Benjamin Button type shit or whatever, but
he just, for sure. He had like, oh, fuck. I was 17, 18. I don't think I could even vote in that election. I think I was like 16 or 17 the first time around, but I remember being energized by him. And I was like pretty left wing at that point. But he became, it's fucking consultant energy. And that's like all of the DNC at this point. It's all fucking consultant energy. And everyone hates consultants. That's a rancid energy to bring anywhere. You don't want to be talked down to by the dorkiest motherfuckers on the planet. It's even worse if they are trying to carry the cool energy. Because you see, like, I think anybody can see right through that. Boomhauer's fucking sick. Motherfucker has never talked about KPIs or fucking any kind of metrics.
Boom
dude is just positive vibe.
Not a metric
what if taking the weird thing?
Guy.
Just a bunch of mumbling and you occasionally hear the word weird. Weird.
Yeah, or he just mumble and say, actually, you know what? I will give Boomhauer this. He could just mumble and say the word like healthcare or tariff or just some
boom.
Buzzword like that.
Dang old trans rights, man.
And nobody, it's like, is he for or against trans rights? Nobody knows, but he said it, and now he's getting everyone's votes. But I really think, okay, realistically, I think lieutenant governor is where a guy like Boomhauer caps out in real life, because a lieutenant governor, that's a perfectly fine position to be a mumbly motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean, you can even like talk about being pro-slavery on weird 90s HTML porno websites and be lieutenant governor. That
right,
guy was
right.
Lieutenant governor. Right?
is House of Representatives higher than lieutenant governor? Because there are some weird, I guess maybe not, because there are fewer lieutenant governors. There are some weird House of Representatives. There are some weird Congress guys.
I would put governor higher just because you have to appeal to more voters. Like,
if it's about appealing
to a House district, we're at the whole he could easily become a mayor of a city type thing.
I'm campaigning for him.
I'm definitely campaigning.
Hell
for
yeah.
Boomhauer. Yeah.
Are we saying we don't think Boomhauer would be at January 6th?
Yeah,
no fucking way. He's okay, too busy doing cool shit.
Yeah, there's no. Yeah, you. January 6th is for people who don't get laid.
A myth, 1,000%.
That's we got to start there. All right. If you're fucking all the time, you don't got time for shit like January 6th. All right.
Exactly.
Like Boomhauer. He is just a certified fucking lady killer. You know, all he does is go around town slaying. And so, and especially that's the especially time, you know, he's not like with a committed partner fucking all the time. He's playing the game all the time. That takes a lot of commitment. That takes a lot of time in your schedule. You know, Boomhauer's on the Google calendar. He's fucking scheduling dates on the Google account. He doesn't have time for January 6th.
I'm going to make a sincere point here. Uh-huh. Different kind of sex guy also, because he's not like the frat guy talking about women like objects completely kind of guy, still weird about sexuality. He has the fucking leopard print thong that he shows up in often. He's got like the weird heart bed or whatever, like his place is decked out in that way, I think that's lightly queer coded. I think if you're rocking the fucking leopard print undies, you are comfortable enough with your body and sexuality in a way that I just think most cis straight people can't fucking comprehend. I think it's lightly queer coded.
It wouldn't shock me if Boomhauer is like just barely skewed on the Kinsey scale, like a one,
just a little bit.
Like, you know, he had an experience with a guy in college, but he doesn't really talk about it, so it doesn't matter. Let's move on. which characters from King of the Hill do you think would have been at January 6th? Obviously, Dale Gribble. So let's just get that one.
Dale Gribble for sure. Honestly, this might be fucked up. I think Khan could potentially have been at J6.
Khan's politics are kind of fucked.
He is like straight. I don't think he is a small business owner in the show, but he has like small business tyrant energy to me a little bit.
He has a little of that kind of general persona. Like, he definitely, like, he's always obsessed with like the country club and stuff like that. But he's a little bit of a redneck in a weird way, which is like the thing that like the show comes back to a lot is like, oh, does Khan really fit in here? Is like a little theme that pops up time and time again. And then it's like the thing that is like, you know, it's like the lesson they always learn is like, oh, well, like cultural diversity is good for all of us. And also Khan's a little bit of a redneck. Like, that's the lesson every time, you know,
because he's still an American.
So I could see him being there on a few levels.
Strickland propane guy, Hank's boss. What's his name?
Oh, Buck Strickland.
He might be, I mean, imagining he's aged to like, he might've been too old for that, but like
we're not
small
worrying
business.
About that part.
He could be just in a trucker convoy. He could be on the,
he's
on
doing
the,
trucker the, convoy shit, yeah. Or at least like financing some of that.
I feel like he would go to January 6th, but he would have been, you know how there were those people that like dipped early?
Yeah.
That like knew that shit was gonna get wild, riled everybody up, and then fuck it. That would be Buck Strickland.
He's not climbing like, the walls.
He'd be
sure.
Knowing that shit was gonna get wild, he'd be riling people up. Fucking here, I'll give you $50 if you attack that security guard, you know? And then like as soon as shit actually starts to get wild, he'd be like, all right, where's my car? I'm out of here.
Yeah, no, he's not risking any kind of like record or anything when it comes down.
Yeah. He would definitely not get arrested or charged for anything related to January 6th, even though he was there, because it would have been clear that he left really early. I got a take. I think Luann would go.
You think so?
She's easily swayed into crazy stuff.
That's true.
Especially exciting things is really more the term I'm looking for. Anything with excitement.
She does get kind of religious too.
Hank, we just have to go save the presidency, and then the whole arc of the episode would be Hank is like, all right then, go to Washington, and he's like, he doesn't care. But then Peggy like starts to hear some shit on the news. She's like, I think Luann's gonna get in real trouble. I think something's gonna happen at this, and Hank has to like get there in a hurry and stop her before she's like about to enter the Capitol building. And Hank's like, Luann,
go. I think Bill is at Jan 6, but he doesn't really know how he got, he didn't know what was going on. He just kind of ended up.
He thought it was a protest in the opposite direction. He thought it was a protest to make sure that they swore in Joe Biden.
Let's see. I'm like looking through characters to see side characters. Because the late edition Lucky, who I'm on the fence on as a character, like the Tom Petty character, I was kind of, he has his moments, but I was a little bit like, I wasn't super crazy about him. I think he's too chilled to be going there.
He's not going. Yeah.
No, definitely not Peggy. Unless she was like wrapped up into some kind of like scheme with it. But I don't know. I don't see that.
Nancy,
one happening.
I'm on the fence about. She might go with Dale, but she might also be like, nah, I'm going to stay home and fuck the side piece. Right.
She does have a little bit of like Marjorie Taylor Greene energy. Not that rancid.
Brandon, remember I said this before the show. I said Nancy Gribble has Marjorie Taylor Greene energy.
I do remember.
Her politics do seem bad, Nancy.
Yeah, in the like somewhat straight laced, but like in like the tacky,
unprincipled is what we'd say.
Yeah, just that like
opportunist.
In the very like capitalist, small business, a little bit like locally wealthy type of way. She has the energy of like she got into fucking essential oils or something and like actually made money on the pyramid scheme doing it. Like she wasn't somebody who lost a ton of money. It got a little bit grifty and is kind of pursuing it for those ends. They don't really flesh out her character a whole lot unless I'm sure I'm misremembering some episodes, but besides like the whole kind of cheating arc, I feel like we don't get a lot of her.
There's a little bit of her personal development. There's a couple of episodes that are like strictly about her job and stuff and like her like feeling insecure at work and things like that.
That is ringing a bell.
That's like one of the major arcs of her character is like feeling insecure about like is like a younger person, especially a younger woman, going to steal my job and things like that. Yeah. And I think that definitely tracks with a lot of the like women of the Republican Party right now and their vibes and how they fight on Twitter with each other. Laura Loomer and Marjorie Taylor Greene getting into it. Still one of the highlights of 2024.
Yeah, shit rocked.
That's hilarious.
I'm looking at some of these other characters. Some of these people, never seen them in my damn life.
You know, Nancy Gribble, though, she's probably the most charismatic one of the bunch.
Absolutely.
And so to round out this section of the show before we move on to our final and silliest segment, I want to ask, do you think Nancy Jr. could beat George W. Bush for governor of Texas?
I think so. I think so these days. I think people do are rejecting the dynasties a little bit. And she's got that, yeah, she's got that new fucking pyramid scheme, psycho white lady energy. And
she's a newscaster, which doesn't always but is a relatively reasonable track into politics.
Yeah, she's doing shit for the Daily Wire or something for sure.
Okay. Now I want to move on to something. We've done our elections. We've voted. Thank God. Got to vote. Most important election of our lives, but I want to ask some questions about bringing some characters from the real world into scenarios of King of the Hill. So,
yeah,
Buck Strickland versus Donald Trump in a game of golf on the Arlen Greens.
I'm giving it to Buck Strickland. Like many bosses, I don't imagine he's doing a lot of actual work. I imagine he's spending a lot of time on that local golf course, honing his game. And as I said, Trump is actively sundowning. I can't imagine his golf game is very strong these days. Now I haven't played against the man. I haven't done 18 holes.
What about 2016 then?
He did it. I mean, he was more energized back then. Still, though, I don't know. It's hard to beat a man on his home turf.
And we'll give Trump one final possible advantage just to see
he's got a gun.
Wins. Which is that, you know, in this fictional scenario where the King of the Hill universe exists, Trump goes to the Arlen Green, you know, Arlen Greens are in his rotate, like not heavily, but he goes there like maybe once every couple of years and shoots that course, so, you know, whatever. So
maybe. Kennedy, why do you want Trump to beat Buck Strickland?
I just wanted to give Trump every advantage just to say Buck would still win.
I've heard of this Buck Strickland because... guy, and they say he's better in golf at me. I disagree. Nobody hits balls like me.
I prefer charcoal.
Buck Strickland wins just because he is like a little Donald Trump. But he doesn't have the money to go places all the time. So he's at that local golf course every day, like you say.
He's the fucking king of that golf course.
He's the king of that golf course.
They call him Luck Strickland because
but also it is canonical that his golf game is a little shitty.
I think I am remembering that from an episode.
But that's, well, but he is usually wasted as fuck when he's playing. Maybe he'd sober up a little to play against Donald Trump.
Or hits that perfect inflection point where the alcohol is boosting your game before you go over the end and just like plummet and makes it way worse. Like me at pool, I have about a one game window, usually around three beers. Then I'm excellent at pool. And either side of that, I am dog shit.
Now that you're saying this, though, now I'm imagining a King of the Hill episode that revolves around this exact idea where Buck's like, I just have to get the right exact amount of drunk. And then he narrowly loses the game at the end because he gets a little too wasted or something.
Hank is brewing like to very specific, very particular specifications. We need a certain gravity, a certain type. Oh, a red ale at 6.1%.
That
is a phenomenal Hank Hill voice.
You're really good at that.
He whipped it out two or three times, and every time I've gone, he's here. Yep, it's real quality.
Well, is dang it, Brandon, you're all right in my book.
That's going to be, we're going to chop that up. That'll be in an intro somewhere. So
you should jump on Cameo.
I both look and sound like Hank.
Yeah, the look. You really got the look now.
All right.
Yeah, listen, if you can't see me, but I am a mid-40s white man with a little bit of a beer gut and love grilling. And,
yeah, why are we speculating who Hank Hill would vote for? We should have just asked you. You're right here.
Whoa!
All right, so I got another one for you. Which politician, living or dead, doesn't matter, everybody gets to pick one, or we can all pick one together, whatever. It's not really a game show.
Pick that grill.
Could sell the most propane and propane accessories, let's say in one holiday weekend.
Oh, for me, that's Tim Walz.
Oh, that's strong. That's strong.
Strong opening pick.
God damn. That's hard to beat. Trying to think who else has like good positive grill energy.
What about Teddy Roosevelt? I feel like Teddy Roosevelt could upsell you on a grill fast. He starts talking about the time he hunted a bear.
And how he needed a good grill to cook it. Oh, Teddy Roosevelt.
He starts telling wilderness stories to you.
He does have strong old-timey salesman energy, but that can still get you because there's something just about the theater of that kind of salesman that is overwhelming.
And again, he really does have all these legit crazy wilderness stories. He was a wilderness guy. And so he'd be talking about camping with you. You know, you need this camp stove. It's the best. I take this with me when I hunt elk with my bare hands. And then you're like, you hunt elk with your bare hands. He starts telling you this crazy story. I think Teddy Roosevelt could sell some propane.
I think he would outsell Tim Walz a little bit.
That's just not in the charisma in the man. Although, granted, we are looking into the past. You know, there is a little bit of idealization and stuff going on with the conception of the man. Maybe he's really stinky in person. I mean, that time period probably was really stinky in person.
I mean, I imagine he was abrasive in some ways.
Oh, absolutely. That guy's face. That just... I respect the energy, but fuck, man, I can't be around that guy very long. It's just a lot. It's just a lot.
Dono, you got a choice, sir.
Okay, who am I bringing out here? I'm going to speak to my home state and go with Pritzker.
Oh.
Go with our boy JB.
How did I not think of him?
And I may be biased because he is, you know, he's part of like a fucking wealthy dynasty. He is a little detached from the common man, but also like his posting energy in interviews. I think he could sell the sincere angle. You kind of just, despite being a billionaire, I kind of like that guy.
Oh, I like the guy. Like he affects my life in a positive way.
It's a low bar, but fucking JB for life. Baby.
I also feel like he could man a grill.
Million percent.
Yes, he's from a wealthy dynasty, but I feel like if you're like, hey, JB, take the spatula, flip these burgers. I got to use the bathroom. He's got you.
He has grilled. I believe that he has grilled.
I believe he has grilled. Brandon?
My choice, you won't believe he's grilled, but he can definitely sell a grill. And that's, of course, almost too easy, Donald Trump. Literally, this guy's...
Donald Trump would sell you the idea of a grill.
Yeah.
That's fucked up, man. Yeah.
This guy's been selling steaks, knives, sharp anything out of the Sharper Image catalog for basically his entire life. More than probably any political figure of all time in terms of just chilling merch in a naked and unashamed way. He's just the king of it. So
one of the greatest to do it.
Overly obvious as a choice, maybe.
This grill has the Second Amendment written on it. Don't you want your beautiful Second Amendment grill?
Gold plated
grill. Yeah, easy.
All right, final question of the show. Which politician, living or dead, could be not just a good substitute teacher, but a good enough substitute teacher to beat Peggy Hill for Substitute Teacher of the Year award, something she covets and works tirelessly to earn every year?
Okay, now that we're having this conversation, I'm picturing an episode with Tim Walz.
He does have some substitute teacher energy.
He was a teacher.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cheating, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
No, I think
the opposite of cheating.
In fact, I think I was going to pick somebody with an education background, maybe. So I don't think it's cheating.
No, I think it's literally the opposite of cheating.
I've got a choice. I'll wait. Mine's is always the best one. So I'll wait for
it
you.
It is
guys.
Always the best one.
Yeah.
I'm going with Jamal Bowman could beat Peggy Hill for Substitute Teacher of the Year award. He's got a strong energy.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, my mic.
I think we lost you for like 1 second, but
we're good now though.
We're
I can hear you, Spider-Man.
I think Jamal Bowman could bring strong Substitute Teacher energy. I think he could rock it.
Jamal Bowman is just a great choice. And for a second, you know, the name that came to my mind was Cory Booker, who just has the amount of physical energy. You got to have a certain amount of physical energy to even be a teacher.
And especially to beat Peggy Hill, who is just unnaturally energetic.
Oh, yeah.
I thought about it, and the person that I would send to do this job is Arnold Schwarzenegger. That you're bringing out. You're bringing out the biggest possible guns for this. But
the kindergarten cop?
Yeah. I have to believe that the kindergarten cop could make it a substitute teacher of the year. He's going to have some inspiring stories. You know, he can throw down in the gym. I don't know. He'll talk it through. He could make it.
That's awesome. This has been an incredible episode, y'all. Donna, thank you for coming to participate in the most important election of our lives. Much like us, you have an important podcast that people should be listening to on a regular basis, or they could come into serious danger. Why don't you tell people about that and drop any other plugs you
tell
want
them
to.
About your life-saving service here.
Kennedy, Brandon, Andrew, thank you so much, and glad to have voted alongside of y'all. My show is called Radio Free Tote Bag. It is a dating and advice podcast I co-host with my good homie, Audrey. We have been going for 6.5 years now, so there is a lot of episodes, and you can write in each week. We answer all kinds of questions. We got guests on. We've had Kennedy on. Andrew Hillary, a lot of podcast people from our sphere that you would probably know. And it's a comedy show, but we give sincere advice. And I think we do a pretty good job. If I'm gonna be honest with you, I believe in it. I also make synth music, which Kennedy helped me get started with. And I appreciate that. I have a SoundCloud, but I haven't like put out anything on there recently. I'm doing a lot of like video synthesis stuff that I'm putting on TikTok. I'm RFTB Dono on there. Go go follow that. I'm making pretty cool stuff. I want more people to see it. And on Blue Sky, I'm at Dono and the other stuff. I am going to be playing more. I played my first show 3 weeks ago, and I'm trying to do more in Chicago. So if you're in that area, that's where I will be posting about that kind of stuff. And I'm an actor and a voice actor, so if you need that shit, hit me up.
You should go see Dono.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. Chicago to the show. That's what's
up. Do your relatives think that what you do is cool?
Yes, actually. I have a pretty like abnormally good family situation. It's kind of fucked up. Most of them are pretty good.
Yeah, awesome.
That's dope. Well, we appreciate you so much coming on this show. This was a blast. And everyone go listen to Radio Free Tote Bag. It's a great time. And we'll see you next week for another most important election of our lives. Don't miss it, or else you have let fascism win. All right, folks.
Bye-bye.
Taste the meat, not the heat.
Ghost Coast Studios. Thanks for listening.